a pretty good 2023 film of tape at the moment. Was the MVP of the bowl game for the Hilltoppers a year ago. A lot of ability to track the football. Four interceptions in 2023. Turns his head very well. Plays the football. Plays the hands very well. Would be an interesting option. You know, again, not the biggest guy, but you do have that opportunity to pair him up with a guy like Malik Muhammad and really have two guys on the outside that play the football very well. So that'll be interesting to see if they go that route with Anthony Johnson Jr. out of Western Kentucky. But man, you look at a guy like Takario Davis, and you don't see cornerbacks like that enter the portal very often. It would be no surprise to me if Texas did go all out for a guy like him to add, you know, that experience and talent on the outside, when we know Texas very much wants to complement their expected improved pass rush with guys on the outside that can be physical, lengthy, and make plays with the ball.
Let's focus a little bit on the net here of it all, because Texas now has, I believe, seven guys that have entered the portal in the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks, you know, since it's really been opened, I guess, 2 weeks ago. But the reality of it is I'm looking at the list. Texas has brought in seven at the midterm. Three of them are wide receivers. Isaiah Bond, Matthew Golden, obviously Silas Bolden signed and committed, but doesn't show up until June. Then you have tight end Amari Nyblack, linebacker Kendrick Blackshire, defensive end Trey Moore, and obviously Tia Sevilla. Now you add Bill Norton to that makes eight. You think you might take a corner, that's nine. Another defensive lineman would be 10, possibly a punter would be 11.
And Silas Bolden.
Yeah, I added Silas already.
Okay, yeah.
My point, though, to you guys is that's a healthy 10, 11-person portal class. Steve Sarkisian, again, it's showing that he's willing to construct the roster in whichever way possible. Jerry, your thoughts on that?
Wow, that's not anything you'll ever hear Clemson fans talk about with Dabo. I'll tell you that. That was my first reaction to that. I think they've added more to the portal than we thought they would headed into December and January. I think that's the reality of it is Texas has gone heavier portal. And look, we saw Ole Miss do this as well. I think Steve Sarkisian is really attacking the portal more so than what we might have thought early, because he thinks he has a chance to have a tremendous football team next year. And then you add in this, and I've said this, and I'll say this till I'm blue in the face. There is literally no excuse for a blue blood team to be inexperienced in college sports ever again. Not with the portal in its current form. The last thing you ever want to hear your coach say at a press conference in August is, "Hey, man, we got a lot of talent, but we're really young at Texas this year." That's not what anybody wants to hear. Should not be said. And Steve Sarkisian understands that. And program high school recruiting and program development is crucial, as you're going to see in the NFL draft Thursday night. But you can't be inexperienced. There's no excuse to be inexperienced anymore. And Steve Sarkisian fully understands that. And I think it's what's so interesting is I think you're seeing Texas go for it a little bit more in the portal too, because they know you have a third-year starting quarterback back, you have experienced offensive line, you have a lot of really talented players coming back on this team that are hungry because they didn't reach the mountaintop last year. They got close enough to see it, but they didn't get there. And now if you can add those pieces, those final pieces you need, I know that in Austin they feel like they have a legitimate shot to challenge for this thing in 2024.
CJ, I see you nodding your head there in agreement. Anything to add to what Jerry had to say?
Yeah, I think this aggression in the portal was a bit expected, of course, because of what the pieces are on the roster right now. Again, Jerry, you mentioned Quinn Ewers, a third-year starter. You have the offensive line intact. Listen, you needed your wide receivers to be able to play a lot of meaningful football. Those guys that they went out, they targeted for a reason. Big time playmakers. They fit the speed aspect of the offense, but they also have a lot of production from 2023. On the defensive side of the ball, we know Texas is looking for interior defensive linemen. To this point and the aggression that we've seen so far, I think you toe almost a pretty fine line if you're Steve Sarkisian, because at what point does going out and adding three wide receivers or potentially three interior defensive linemen from the portal become a negative? You know, is that a negative potentially? If you're an opposing recruiting coordinator at a school that will face Texas and you're going after the same kids, at what point do you then say, oh, yeah, I mean, Texas has a good wide receiving group, but I mean, you might not be there by the time that you expect to be on the field. There'd just be portalers at the spot that you expected to be in a position to play at. I think that's the line that you toe a little bit. But again, with the group that you mentioned, with the offensive line returning, Quinn Ewers being your starting quarterback and expected to be one of the top one, two, three quarterbacks in the entire country, does that then become the exception to the rule of going out and adding so many portal guys at certain positions? Right now, I think so. Will we see Texas be that aggressive next year? Well, I think it's obviously dependent upon the roster construction. And two, how confident are you in Arch Manning being that guy to lead Texas into the national title conversation from a January to May window next year? I think it'll all depend on that.
Yeah, I think there's a final piece, Bobby, to this too. And I want you to hit on this, Bobby. Final piece to this. This is also the first year Texas is officially moving into the SEC. So they're not facing Big 12 rosters anymore. They're facing SEC rosters this year. And I do think that's impacting what Texas is looking at corner, because as we've been mentioning, bigger, more athletic, faster outside receivers week in, week out in the SEC changes the way you look at the corner position. I think we're seeing in high school recruiting what they're looking for at linebacker under Johnny Nansen fits more SEC, which you see some SEC teams have, versus what Big 12 teams have. So, Bobby, your thoughts on it's also the first year Texas moves to the SEC, so the needs are a little different year one before you can build that through recruiting.
I think so. I mean, I think that bigger guys up front matter in that league. I think faster guys on the outside matter because that league is a faster league and it is a bigger league. So I get where Texas is going with that. The one thing I want to say about the portal emphasis is this. It also coincides with Tom Herman's final year as a recruiter. Because you got to remember, Steve Sarkisian only been in town for 3 years, right? So yeah. He's done as much roster construction as he can as they come up through the ranks. And that first class now is only juniors, right? So they're not seniors. So he's backfilling a lot of that senior class, essentially, right now. So you got to keep that in mind, too, as we talk about this. All right, I want to say thank you to our sponsor. Every state of the program is brought to you by Adam Lowy and the Lowy Law Firm. He's got 20-plus years experience in the industry. If you've been injured in a car wreck, truck wreck, accident on an ATV, anything, a motorcycle, give Adam a call or reach out to him at lowylawfirm.com. That's LowyLawFirm.com. If you've been injured, they give you a free consultation to talk about your situation. All right, next thing I want to go with y'all, tomorrow, the Longhorns, several of them head to the NFL draft. Jerry, you've talked about the impact it will have on recruiting in a positive way when they see most likely what ESPN says, 8 Longhorns selected. What I want to do now with you two is get your final thoughts on where these players will go and what rank and go player by player. Byron Murphy is the number one guy by all accounts. Not sure if he's going to go the first because a lot of people are high on Xavier Worthy and A.D. Mitchell. But Byron Murphy, do we all agree that he's a first-round guy? Is that correct?
Top 20 pick, probably anywhere from 12 to 20. He's definitely going to be the first Texas player off the board and the only guy that I think is an absolute lock to be a first-rounder.
Okay, CJ, you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the rumblings of him being potentially the first defensive player off the field or off the board isn't too far off as well. I think you see him right around 15, if not earlier.
Okay, let's go to the receivers. So we all said number one for Byron Murphy. Let's talk about the two receivers because there's a little bit of a thought there that one might go in the first round and another in the second. A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy. I'm going to give you my take. I think Xavier Worthy is going to go in the first round and Adonai Mitchell is going to go in the second. Even though Adonai Mitchell actually tested off the charts at his height and weight, I think there's some scuttlebutt behind the scenes that might scuttle his chances to go in the first round, to be honest. At the same time, I keep reading more and more positive things about Xavier Worthy, that despite his height, or despite his weight, despite all these things, he's not a John Ross part two that's just a flyer. He's actually someone that has a little thing. So I'm going Xavier Worthy will go in the first round. Adonai Mitchell will drop to the second. Who wants to go from there on that, on those two first?
Yeah, so I think what's interesting is if you're looking at those guys, who's been tied to one team the most, CJ? Adonai Mitchell's been tied to Buffalo the most. I mean, I know some people say KC with Xavier Worthy, but Adonai Mitchell's been tied to Buffalo a lot in the last couple of weeks. So Buffalo's picking 28. If Buffalo goes wide receiver at 28, man, it sure seems like they're going AD Mitchell. I think what's going to be interesting is where is there any movement after 20 or in after like 17 in the draft? Any trade ups? Any movement there? I think that could impact Xavier Worthy. I'm going to go with this. I'm going to say both those guys actually end up going in the first round, whereas I think Buffalo is going to end up taking AD Mitchell, but it's the NFL draft. I mean, so I don't know what CJ says.
So you're going to both in the first round. What about you, CJ?
Yeah, I was leaning both in the first round as well. Again, you don't see guys with 4.34 at 6.2 and 4.21, you know, all too often. Guys covet that speed. And for Xavier Worthy, who the question marks were really about his hands, was very impressive in that pro day down in Austin a few weeks ago. The routes were crisp. The hands were right on. He looked like the complete wide receiver that was more so than a guy that could run very fast and we knew all about over the last 3 years. AD Mitchell, again, the hands don't lie on the tape this year. I think because of that and the size that he brings, that's more of a complete wide receiver. I think, again, there's going to be three spots. Of course, Buffalo, the Buccaneers, an interesting one for me, and of course the Ravens and the Chiefs at the back end. So I guess four right there. All of them could use a top end, you know, high caliber wide receiver. Those are the four spots I'm looking at those two wide receivers to fall to. Kansas City, again, to me makes so much sense for Xavier Worthy. They need that speed. Kansas City had a ton of drops a year ago. It feels to me that there's not a spot in the draft at the back end that isn't a more perfect match than Xavier Worthy and the Kansas City Chiefs.
You think both of those guys going in the first?
I do.
Okay. All right.
Hey, so here's something.
You think both are going in the first?
I think so. Here's what to watch, though, if something happens there. Either wide, later half of the first round, there's either going to be a run at D-line or wide receiver. And that's going to tell the story of both those guys going the first round. If the run's at D-line late in that first round, because I think D-line and wide receiver are similar right now as far as there's some guys that could flip-flop late first, early second. Which position has that run late in the first, I think will tell the story.
Okay, I want to go to the next four players for the Longhorns that we think are going to be off of the board. In no particular order, by the way. I'm going to put my order to it, and I want you guys to talk about it from there. Jonathan Brooks, the running back. Tavondre Sweat, defensive tackle. JT Sanders, tight end. Christian Jones, offensive tackle. Here's what I'm doing. I'm going with Jonathan Brooks in the second round.
Yeah.
Tavondre Sweat in the third round. JT Sanders and Christian Jones in the fourth round. Those are my picks. CJ, I want you to go first on this one. Brooks, Sweat, Sanders, and Christian Jones.
Yeah, Bobby, I've got it the exact same way. And it's unfortunate because I think really 3 or 4 months ago, we were talking about Jatavion Sanders possibly going in that top 35 or 40 picks. And then you see him at the pro day, you see him at the combine. The numbers just didn't match up with the guy that you wanted to see from the field a year ago. He looked, I don't want to say completely, you know, zoned out during the pro day, but there just wasn't that intent that I expected to see from a guy who had essentially the entire world of tight ends buzzing right behind Brock Bowers. He was that number two guy coming in, and I think as a result, the more that you watched him in the pro day and you watch him in the combine and you go back and you look at some of the film in the trenches, you see a guy that has a long way to go when it comes to being that physical inline blocking tight end. And he doesn't have the elite speed. He doesn't have that incredible strength. In fact, he didn't really impress anybody at all with the strength. Those numbers, the explosiveness weren't there. It was a big red flag for me. So Jatavion Sanders, as a result, falls pretty hard. Will he enter the fourth round? I think at the moment, yes. And that's very unfortunate, again, because that was a big recruiting piece for the Longhorns. Jordan Washington's not a Texas Longhorn if it's not for Jatavion Sanders and the efforts that he put on the field the last two seasons. So unfortunate there, but I do have Jonathan Brooks going that back end of the second round. I look at the Packers and the Cowboys in 55-56. Tavondre Sweat, a little incident earlier this offseason. He looks like a guy that someone's going to take a run on, and Rod Babers has mentioned this a number of times. There are probably a couple teams that are very happy that that happened because, again, that draft stock will fall to a spot where he likely would not have been a few weeks ago. So that's to me. And, of course, Christian Jones, one of the biggest risers this offseason for the Longhorns. That back into the fourth round, to me, looks tremendous. Versatility to play the guard spot. Great tape from the Reese's Senior Bowl as well at tackle. Soccer background is going to help him a ton in the NFL. I see him as a fourth-round guy.
So you say Brooks 2, Sweat 3, Sanders 4, and Christian Jones 4. What about you, Jerry, that group? Start with Jonathan Brooks, Tavondre Sweat, JT Sanders, and Christian Jones.
Yeah, I think Jonathan Brooks late second as well. I got JT in the third, either Tampa or Miami. You know, look, I think the thing that hurts JT is – and it could actually be a bit, it actually could benefit him if he ends up in Miami in that with Tua in that offense. But here's the issue: when you don't put up good numbers from a strength standpoint in your pro day or at the combine, what do people question? Do you love football or not? Or are you just really good at it? There's a big difference when people are throwing millions of dollars at you. And I think that's going to be the question with JT Sanders. I actually have Christian Jones and Tavondre both in the fourth, and it won't surprise me if Christian Jones doesn't go higher. I think Tavondre's got two things working against him before it was. And I think talent level on the football field, he's definitely higher than that. But you gained weight from the end of the season to the combine, and I don't care if it's a pound or not. When you come in, what people say, that's too heavy at the combine. Then at your pro day, you're a pound heavier. What do people question? How dedicated are you to this, man? We're spending millions of dollars. And this, when you have millions of dollars, what are you going to do? Because the process here to lose weight and show people you're really dedicated to make more money and convince those guys of the decision wasn't there. So guys, in the NFL level, they're looking for warts. They know you can play. All they're doing is looking for warts. Remember, the NFL draft, they once questioned whether Derek Johnson was physical enough. Could Kevin Durant in the NBA, he couldn't bench 185 pounds. They're clearly looking for warts, even on great players. And now Tavondre with the other incident, he's got a couple of warts going against him right now.
I'm say this. He gained weight between the end of the regular season, the conference championship game, and the national championship.
That's not a positive thing.
He just may be one of those guys that in season is going to be different than he is out of season. Now, I will say this. I would be highly surprised if, as long as injury doesn't get him, Tavondre Sweat doesn't have a 2 or 3 contract career. In the
I agree with that.
Regardless of where he goes, because I think he's a better player than he is necessarily a prospect.
Totally agree with that. I totally agree with that. I just don't think he did himself any favors.
No, he didn't.
No,
from
certainly not.
Through
that report of him getting up to 393 pounds for the Sugar Bowl, it's a red flag. You know, that's all very concerning. On the bright side, though, if he was able to play and be that effective at that weight, then you're looking at it as an NFL, you know, scout or general manager thinking, okay, what if we get him right? What's the ceiling there? But at that same point, when you're picking in the day 2 slot, you kind of don't have that long leash to go out and get long-term potential when you need instant impact guys, especially along the defensive line. That might be the barrier for entry for him in the day 2 spot. But again, the tape speaks for himself. He's got hardware from college. Not many guys do. So at an interior defensive line spot, it wouldn't surprise me to see someone take advantage of that fall that we've talked about a little bit and grab him in that third round.
By the way,
I'm going to be on. I would take Tavondre Sweat all day long and twice on Sunday in the third round. You get an interior defensive lineman, you just – those guys, they're worth their weight. Sorry the pun there. I want to say thanks one last time to Adam Lowy and the Lowy Law Firm. We appreciate him. He's got 20-plus years of experience helping people if they've been injured in a car wreck, a truck wreck, motorcycle accident, or more, ATV, that sort of stuff. Give Adam and his group a shout. Reach out to them at LoweLawFirm.com. Adam, we appreciate your sponsorship. Hey, Jerry and CJ, the next one I want to go to is those final three that we think have a shot or are going to be very, very wanted in the undrafted free agent market. Jalen Ford has – ESPN has him getting drafted right now, the linebacker. Keelan Robinson and Ryan Watts. Your thoughts on those three guys and where they come out. Are they going to get drafted? Will Ford definitely get drafted, or is he going to be an undrafted free agent, et cetera? What are y'all's thoughts on that one?
I think Ford will get drafted. I think the last two rounds of this draft, because of NIL and guys returning to college, are weaker than ever. And that helps the guys who stick around. Obviously, the guys who are on the fence in the draft, Ryan Watts, Keelan Robinson. I think one of those two guys for sure gets drafted. It wouldn't shock me if both didn't get drafted. It wouldn't shock me if Texas didn't have 10 guys drafted, because I think those last two rounds, the Keelan is really set up for Ryan Watts and a Keelan Robinson to get drafted, whether that's sixth or seventh round.
What do you think, CJ, on that?
Yeah, Jalen Ford gets drafted, I think, probably in the fifth. He didn't test well, but again, you can't knock the numbers and the experience, the production that he put on the field. It's not a good off-ball linebacking class as well, which plays into the favor of Jalen Ford for this draft. What's interesting to me is I don't think ESPN had Ryan Watts getting drafted. You know, there are mock drafts with Ryan Watts not getting drafted, which is very interesting. He was a two-year starter at Texas. He measured in at 6'3", ran a 4.52, broad jumped 11.1, and had a vertical jump of, 44 inches. You don't see that too often at defensive backs. You know, will his future be at safety? Will it be at cornerback? I don't think it matters. He will get drafted to me because of those measurables, because of the tape. And again, I think he answered a lot of questions with that 10-yard split, knowing that his, that initial quickness was kind of the big question mark for him coming out of the season, especially after that Washington game where it was a pretty long night for him. So that's those measurables, those details to me are going to catapult him into the draft this year, especially at cornerback, where this draft specifically towards that back end as a result of NIL, very thin, and those guys can certainly become, a gem in the rough right there.
Hey, CJ, let me ask you this then. Your thoughts, who's more likely to get drafted, Jalen Ford or Ryan Watts?
It's a good question. I think you still have to go Jalen Ford because of how impactful he was during his Texas career. Of course, this was a guy who's had a very good argument to be the defensive player of the year in the Big 12 in 2022 with the way that he was able to force so many impactful turnovers, was always there to, make the game-saving play, if you will, for the Longhorns in that 8-5 season. I think he's a no-brainer right now to be taken ahead of Ryan Watts.
Okay. All right. Look, good luck to all the Longhorns tomorrow, beginning tomorrow. We'll have we're going to do a watch with us for the draft. Y'all can come along. Hang out. We can talk a little surprises in the draft, that sort of stuff. Talk a little NFL football as well if you want to on Texas football. But that'll do it for today. We're going to be monitoring the portal each and every moment of the day, today, tomorrow, and through the rest of the month, really. April 30th is when it closes. We've got news and notes around that each and every, basically on the hour. Right now at On Texas Football. You can be a member, become an OTF OG for just $39.95 at ontexasfootball.com. That's ontexasfootball.com. If you use the promo code OTF OG, you get $20 off your subscription for just $39.95 a year. Jerry, CJ, any final thoughts before we let people go on this state of the program?
You know, I'd say this, after the spring game, watched it back a couple of times. I'm staying on my soapbox. I think Texas is going to be a better football team next year than they were in this year, and that's saying something because they were a college football playoff team. I can't guarantee 11-1. It's a tougher schedule, but I maintain the work that's being done in the portal and what I saw from the spring game with the overall speed of the team. I think Texas is going to be a better team next year.
Good stuff. All right. For Jerry Hamilton and CJ Vogel, I'm Bobby Burton. That's been State of the Program. Hook 'em.